Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. This is your host, Eric Steven. I have a Dodgers rewind for you today, and with me is Jacob Birch. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. On the morning, do we pretend it's in the morning when we do this?
I mean, I would say most people listen to this in the morning. That's when generally the podcast comes out. So,
but, good morning, you know, to everybody then.
Yay. Hey, good morning. Anyway, if you remember a couple episodes of The Lineup ago, one of the questions from Craig was about Dodgers with only one win, or maybe it was just at Dodger Stadium, I believe was the question. And one of the pitchers was a guy who pitched for them in 1968 and 1982 and nothing else. And I was flummoxed by this, but it was Vicente Romo. So, and Craig even put in the question, this would be a good subject for a Dodgers rewind. And Craig was right.
And we agreed, yeah.
Yeah, so today we're going to look back at Vicente Romo, who, again, those were his first and last major league seasons, but there were so much more, mostly in the Mexican League. Or not mostly, but he did pitch a lot in the Mexican League. We'll get to that. He was actually signed for the Mexican League before he made the majors, by a Cuban scout named Corito Verona, who later, while with the Dodgers, discovered Fernando Valenzuela. Corito is Cuban, and so is Mike Brito. And Mike Brito was the one who actually signed Valenzuela, but it was Verona recommended him to Brito, or to the Dodgers. The Dodgers sent Brito down, and they sort of got the deal done. But he found Vicente Romo as well. So Romo made Cleveland's roster out of spring training in 1967, but he did not pitch. He didn't pitch while he was active, but then they sent him down. So he didn't. He ended up pitching in the minors all year. Later that December, the Dodgers picked Romo in the Rule 5 draft. So before I get into his sort of Dodgers and the rest of his career, I have a trivia question for you. Ricky, this is referencing Craig's question from the lineups ago. Vicente Romo, that's a different game, but Vicente Romo saved a game for the Dodgers on June 18th, 1982 in Cincinnati. One of six Dodgers to record a save in 1982. That's half as many as they had in 2022, just for reference. How many of the other five pitchers from 1982 can you name?
I am a known expert of relievers of the 1982 Dodgers, so probably all six. But let's see if I can go six for six. How about that?
Yeah. Well, you should get one since it's Vicente Romo. But before 1982, he first appeared in the majors with the Dodgers in 1968. He was a Rule 5 pick. So he made the team out of spring training. It wasn't a direct like one for one thing, but one of the things I noticed was Don Sutton did not make the roster that year to start the season. This was his third season. He was as a rookie, he was part of their four man rotation for a World Series team in 1966. And then you think of Don Sutton, right? He's just like so consistent. He was there for 15 years and it was like 200 innings every single season. He started in the minors in 1968, but then the more I dug into it, he had a 6-month off-season army commitment off-season, and it made him late for spring training, so he wasn't quite ready when the season started. So they sent him to AAA. This was in the Pomona Press Bulletin. General manager Buzzy Bavese said, quote, "Sutton needs to work on his condition. He's only a short plane ride away." And in true to form, he wasn't there long in Spokane. Two starts with them. He went 8 innings in both games. He allowed 2 total runs and struck out 19. Then he was back up. But before he came back up, Romo made his major league debut on April 11th. It was the Dodgers' second game of the season. He is the second Mexican-born player to play for the Dodgers. The first was outfielder Mel Almada, who was he was the first Mexican-born player in the majors in 1933 for the Red Sox. By the time he got to the Dodgers, it was 1939, and he played for them very briefly. But Romo was the second. He pitched a scoreless 9th inning in a 4-0 loss to the Mets at Dodger Stadium. That was the only game Romo pitched for the Dodgers that month. And then right around the time, I don't know if this was a one-for-one thing, but it was roughly the same dates. Right around the time when Sutton was called up to the Dodgers sent Romo back to Cleveland because they weren't going to keep him on the roster, and you can't send him down. You got to offer him back to the team you picked him from, Rule 5 rules and all that. So they sent him back to Cleveland. He went to the minors and then ended up pitching a good amount for Cleveland in 1968. That started like Romo's first stint of like major league action, and he bounced around a little bit. From 1968 to 74, outside of the one game with the Dodgers, he pitched for Cleveland, the Red Sox, the White Sox, and the Padres. In April 1969, he was traded to Boston. Hawk Harrelson was one of the players who went back to Cleveland in the deal. You can put that on the board. When the Red Sox traded Romo to Chicago to the White Sox in March 1971, he was sent along with Tony Muser, a first baseman at the time, but later managed the Royals for 6 seasons, 3 decades later. Romo pitched mostly in relief. 316 of his appearances were in relief during that time. He also started occasionally 20 times in those 7 years. He was pretty good, 3.38 ERA, 106 ERA plus in 610 innings, but his career was far from over. We'll talk a little bit more about what he did after 1974, after the break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So in 1975, Romo went back to Mexico to pitch for the Cordoba Cafeteros, where he spent 4 years. He also spent 3 years with the Azules. Oh, man, I had this. I was practicing pronouncing this. I'm gonna butcher this, but I think it's Huatzacoalcos. I believe is how it's pronounced. Oh, man, I butchered it. I'm sorry. He pitched 3 years for them. In 1979, he tied a Mexican League record with 10 shutouts. This is the Mexican Summer League, mind you. Not the Winter League, although he pitched in that as well. 1982, he started in spring training that year. He had a spring invite with the Cardinals, but didn't make the team. And so he went back to Mexico, and he was 7-0 with a 1.54 ERA when the Dodgers signed him in May. With the Dodgers, there was a note that he got. They put his locker next to second year, I guess third year at this time, but right after he won Cy Young, next to Fernando Valenzuela, fellow Mexican pitcher. Romo had a 3.03 ERA in 15 games and 35 and two-thirds innings with the Dodgers. He started six of those games. His lone win, this was the subject of Craig's question in that previous podcast, came July 19th against the Expos. He pitched seven scoreless innings and struck out six. In Romo's Sabre bio, written by Rory Costello, had a quote describing that outing as Romo having, quote, an assortment of forkballs, curves, sliders, changeups, and not-so-hard fastballs. So, which is always a fun combination. So Romo, in his next game out, July 28th, so he wasn't pitching that off, right? This is 9 days later. Although, actually, looking back, it was probably that was probably the All-Star break that sort of played into that. But he injured his knee in a rundown in the second inning in San Francisco. Johnny LeMaster doubled in two runs, and the next batter hit into a fielder's choice. They went after LeMaster, who got to third, and I guess it was a rundown. Per UPI, Romo said he felt something pop in his knee, ended up needing knee surgery, which ended his season. A note here, when the Dodgers, they lost the game where Romo hurt. No, I guess they lost the game where they said he was going to need surgery. They fell 10 games back of the Braves, and the AP story, game story said, the division is, quote, beginning to look like a one-team race. The Braves were in first place at this time by 10 games. 13 days later, the Dodgers were in first place. So that was one of the craziest stretches. This is, again, in one of those blind spot years for me where I was six, wasn't cognizant, only learned about it years later. But the Dodgers in this stretch went 12-1, including two four-game sweeps of the Braves. That's one way to catch a team in front of you. I highly recommend four-game sweeps. That'll definitely make up some ground. The series in LA against the Braves, I think that was the latter one. It started with three consecutive walk-offs for the Dodgers, which is just nuts. Had to be frustrating for the Braves. But the race ended up going down to the final day of the season. The Dodgers sort of helped that along by losing eight straight at one point, right till the end of September. And then they sort of made up the ground at the end, but then lost on the last day on a Joe Morgan home run. One of my hints before I give you the trivia question,
yeah,
one of the answers is the person who gave up the home run to Joe Morgan was one of the people who had saves. So six Dodgers had saves. Vicente Romo was one.
Hey, you took all my answers.
Another hint for you. One, this is not going to be again. One was a Dodgers rewind in 2019. The other was a Dodgers rewind in 2021.
We've been doing Dodgers rewinds since 2019?
Yeah. Whew. So I will. My other hints for you. So one of them, who was the save leader, was a former Rookie of the Year, and very, like, I would say, two of these people were very famous Dodgers closers for different reasons, both bad. why they were famous. One for on field reasons, one for off. The other is that one of the relievers who had a save, or one of the pitchers who had a save, he didn't. He also started, but he later went on to great success as a starter elsewhere.
I don't know.
Marshall. So No, Mike Marshall is too old for this. So another hand.
We've commented on this before, but like 82, 83 are like my least favorite years for you to ask me questions about.
So do you? I don't know if you remember old Letterman, but like I think famously, David Letterman called the person who gave up the home run to Joe Morgan, who had three saves this year for the Dodgers, a fat tub of goo. Do you remember that at all?
I do not. You know, you commented like, oh, I didn't know this. I was six. Well, I was negative four for 82. So. Right.
But in terms of like, so one of them is like maybe one of the most famous, like.
you do this a lot where you give me these hints that all they do is make me feel worse for not knowing it.
You know, if you associate like 80s drug problems in baseball, there's like one guy who stands out and he led the team in saves that year. He closed out the 1981 World Series. He won Rookie of the Year in 1980.
Nope. Tapping out. You're making me feel worse.
The other one gave up a home run to Jack Clark in 85 and Ozzie Smith earlier in that series.
Yep.
Married to Audrey Landers, I believe. Maybe
Mr. Landers.
Yeah.
See, I win.
Yeah. The one who was the famous starter later won 20 games in 4 years in a row with the A's. You know, you got into that one.
No, I don't. I don't need to know any of these things, Eric.
He also, as GM, traded Shelby Miller, or he's traded Dansby Swanson et al. For Shelby Miller.
Nope.
You're killing me.
It's late. I'm tapping. Sorry, it's too early in the morning. I forgot we're in the morning.
Right. Yeah. the future starter was Dave Stewart. He saved one game that year. Joe Beckwith. Another previous Dodgers rewind saved one game. Terry Forster was who David Letterman called a fat tub of goo. Tom Niedenfuhr was the infamous for on-field reasons, the 85 NLCS. Yep. And Steve Howe was the person who was famously
you were like 80s player. I was like Lenny Dykstra. He was a reliever for the Dodgers. Go figure. Man,
the Dodgers in 1982 used 15 pitchers all year. One of them, Dave Goltz, pitched 3 2/3 innings. One of them named Steve Shirley, who I've never heard of before. Future Dodger rewind.
It was good. It was the excellent trivia question you just hit. I mean, there have a lot of gaps, but that's post 81 before 88. Not that 81 and 88 are, I'm not no expert, but at least I can sometimes take a guess. And also relievers, Eric, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I figured at least Steve Howe and Tom Niedenfuhr would ring a bell or something.
No, they definitely did. And, you know, maybe on a better day would have gotten probably not, but maybe one of them. But yeah, like I said, probably not.
We got to figure out a good time to record these when we're not completely mentally
fried. No. This gives me an excuse because I would screw it up no matter what. But this, it's too late or more early.
If you remember the lineup episode from a few days back, that's also my excuse for why I did so poorly in the tribute. No, it was bad. But so back to Vicente Romo for a second. That win that he got in his penultimate major league game, that was his first win as a starter in the majors since 1970, so what, 12 years in between. Again, a lot of that was pitching the Mexican League. So that July 27th game where he got hurt was his last game in the majors. He had a spring invite earlier that year with the Cardinals, didn't make the team. He had another spring invite in 84 with the Angels but didn't make the team. So he pitched two more years in Mexico City through his age 41 season for his Sabre bio. Romo was 182 and 106 in 16 years in the Mexican Summer League, and he also pitched for 24 years in the Mexican Winter League too. His 182 Winter League wins and 2,038 strikeouts, again per the Sabre bio, which I will link to in the notes, are the most in that league's history. The Mexican Pacific League awards the Vicente Romo Trophy each year to its best pitcher. And he was inducted into the Mexican Baseball Hall of Fame in 1997. So there's Vicente Romo. I'm glad Craig brought him up, and hope you enjoyed this look back at him, and I hope you enjoyed Jacob flailing at trying to figure out
so bad
players before he was born. To be
so
to be honest,
bad.
It was a rough trivia question, but yeah, Vicente Romo, fun times. Pitched for the Dodgers for 2 years, 14 years apart, to bookend his career, his major league career.
That's what a cool career.
Yeah. Well, that's all we have for you today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, and hope you have a good day.